Thank you. The last matter on this morning's calendar is Easterly versus Clark County.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Sydney Tribe of Talmadge Fitzpatrick Tribe here on behalf of the appellants, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
This is an appeal from summary judgment dismissal of three race discrimination claims on behalf of two appellants. Unless the Court has a preference, I will start with the disparate treatment claim of Mr. Edwards. The county's challenge to Mr. Edwards' prima facie case of disparate treatment was based on the notion that he lacked the qualifications for the position that he applied and therefore could not make out his case to take it to the jury. There is a rich factual basis for determining that he was qualified, and this is by no means the only indication that he was qualified. But it is notable that even after this entire process of sending him up through the ranks of this complicated civil service process, sending him to the rule of three interview, and then concluding that he could not be hired for the position. Later on, the county actually asked him to reapply and start the process over.
Well, wasn't that because they'd done an investigation and the investigator had said that they hadn't followed the process that they should have followed?
Yes, but then it belies the notion that he wasn't qualified. If
well,
he's not
qualified, minimum met minimum qualifications.
Yes, met minimum qualifications. One wonders if he didn't even meet the minimum qualifications for the position, why they would be wasting their time and all of their staff time on advancing him through this complicated civil service process.
Well, as I understand it, the first scheduled group of three, and there's a different word for it, that was a mistake.
A mistake by
the county. In other words, they inadvertently scheduled that first.
No, that's not correct. What happened was Mr. Hockett, the investigator, initially disqualified
right.
Mr. Edwards on the ground that he had made misrepresentations in his application.
Right.
Mr. Edwards actually appealed to the civil service panel and was reinstated to the process. It was not accidental. It was intentional. So he was properly advanced to the rule of three interview. And
was that the next step, or should he have gone back to somebody in the position of Mr. Hawkins?
Well, he actually asked to have a second interview. And unlike a Caucasian applicant who made the same request, Mr. Edwards was not allowed to re-interview. But based on his appeal, he essentially went to the civil service panel and said this was inappropriate, this investigator, Mr. Hockett, did not act appropriately, and asked to be reinstated and sent along to the rule of three, and the panel agreed and sent him to the rule of three interview. So that was not by mistake. Then at the rule of three interview, you have what is described as interference by Breanne Nelson, who also happened to be the HR manager who hired Mr. Hockett in the first place. Interfering with the panel's work, clearly for some reason biased against Mr. Edwards. The county's own investigator said that she could not decide whether or not Ms. Nelson's bias against Mr. Edwards was based on race or not, which alone is a fact that a jury would have to decide, that the judge should not have weighed and discarded. And that Ms. Nelson, when the Rule of Three panel decided that, at least two of them decided that he should be hired, went to the sheriff and said whatever she said in private to convince the sheriff not to hire him. And they hired another applicant who was not African American. So you have all of the elements, all of the factual elements of disparate treatment. You have the comparators, and again, the investigator said that not only in the Hockett interview, but also in the process of deciding whether or not to advance Mr. Edwards forward in the process, that compared to a similar Caucasian applicant, there were procedural differences between the two, and those procedural differences favored the Caucasian applicant and worked against Mr. Edwards.
So what do you have to argue about Mr. Evelyn?
Mr. Evelyn has disparate treatment and hostile work environment claims. There's obviously some overlapping evidence when you have a situation where you have not only a hostile work environment, evidence of hostile work environment with respect to coworkers, but also both hostile work environment and disparate treatment evidence in the form of the hostility from Chief Batties, who was his supervisor. The disparate treatment claim is based primarily on what can only be described as, again, drawing all the inferences in favor of Mr. Evelyn, a vendetta against him by a supervisor who said and does not dispute that she said that she has problems with black men who date white women. And this is not the kind of situation where, as the county would like to compare to other cases, a stray comment where there was no other evidence of any kind of hostile or disparate treatment of Mr. Evelyn.
So what was the other evidence?
The other evidence was, and there was testimony not only from Mr. Evelyn, but from other witnesses and other employees, that she treated him differently from other white officers, treated him more hostily, that his actions would be more likely to be reported to internal affairs than similar actions by other officers. Disputes and debates with him. Now, not all of these directly involve statements regarding race, but in the totality of the circumstances, that is absolutely sufficient evidence, particularly when you have a directly discriminatory comment, to send this case to the jury and let the jury decide whether this disparate treatment was based on race or was not. And the trial court's error here was in deciding, weighing this evidence and discarding it on summary judgment. The defense offered by the county below that Ms. Batties could not have discriminated based on race because she herself is African American is contrary to OnCal and cases following it that say that the fact that the accused discriminator is of the same race or same gender, et cetera, as the person who's accusing is not a factor in this matter. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Very well.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Mitchell Kogan. I represent respondent in this case. Respondent respectfully submits that the WLAD race discrimination claims were properly dismissed, and there's no triable issue here, because neither Edwards or Evelyn could satisfy a prima facie case or provide evidence of pretext that would defeat summary judgment. The appellants claim that all they need to do is submit any evidence contrary to the county's to defeat summary
what's
judgment.
What's missing from Edwards's prima facie case?
Edwards was not qualified, Your Honor. That's one of the basic elements, and he wasn't qualified.
Well, hold it a second. His written score made him qualified, right? He was qualified based on his written exam score.
He passed the written exam.
And he passed the oral exam, right?
He did.
Okay. So why would the jury be required to assume that Clark County was acting in bad faith when they reinstated him to the process once and offered to reinstate him to the process the second time? Because if he was actually not qualified and they knew it, those offers of reinstatement were made in bad faith, right?
No, Your Honor, that's
not
accurate.
They were just made to shine him on.
That's not accurate, Your Honor. First of all,
why couldn't a jury find that? Isn't that one thing a jury could find? And isn't the other thing the jury could find that they were made in good faith, indicating that he did meet the minimum qualifications to go to the Rule of Three interview? And therefore, tending to show that your claim of lack of qualifications is pretextual. That's the argument. What's wrong with it?
Your Honor, we can't overlook the fact that the reason that Mr. Edwards was found unqualified is because he was dishonest in his application.
Why did you offer to reinstate him twice?
The county did not offer to reinstate him twice.
Why did the Civil Service Commission offer to reinstate him once and the county offer to reinstate him the second time?
The county found him unqualified.
The question I asked is, why did you offer to reinstate him?
The Civil Service Commission reinstated him to the rule of three-step at the process because Mr. Edwards misrepresented to them, as they have to you, that he did not omit the evidence that he did omit from his application.
And then how about when there was another offer of reinstatement, which he declined because he was already hired by DOC? Why was that offer made?
There was later an offer made to reinstate him to the process, but as Judge
Why would you do that to someone who was so clearly unqualified?
It was purely to correct administrative process errors.
So it was in bad faith. It wasn't really because he had a chance. You were, in fact, just shining him on.
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
Oh, it was in good faith, so he actually had a chance to be hired then, right?
He had the opportunity.
It was in good faith he had a chance to be hired. He was a legitimate candidate.
He had the opportunity to go through the process again.
In a meaningful way.
In a meaningful way.
Meaning that he could have been hired.
I think ultimately, Your
Meaning
Honor,
that the based on everything you know at the time you made the offer, he met the minimum qualifications.
The evidence in the record
You can't have it both ways. You can't make a false offer to reinstate him in order to try and correct your procedural irregularities, an offer that's made in bad faith, and then turn over here and say that you're operating in good faith. He either was qualified and you knew it, or you believed it, so you made the offer in good faith, or he was not qualified, and you knew he was not qualified, in which case you were just shining him on by making these bad faith offers to reinstate him to the process. That's what you're down to, and if you don't believe me, why couldn't a jury find that one of those two things was true?
Because, Your Honor, now the record does demonstrate that were he reinstated to the process, had he accepted those offers, in fact, we now have testimony from the other background investigators who he would have gone to a different background investigator. That background investigator also testified in the course of through deposition that, yes, looking at his background and the fact that he omitted arrests, she would have found him unqualified too. That is true. But the county was acting in good faith, just trying to correct process errors that were identified in the civil service process. I think the fact that the county actually went to the extent to hire an investigator, pay a third-party investigator, to analyze not just Mr. Edwards' claims that he was treated differently because of he was African-American in the process, but they also specifically said, please investigate the civil service process itself. We want to know that everything went smoothly. The investigator found there's no evidence to suggest that his race had anything to do with this, but there were process errors. So when the investigator found that, it was perfectly reasonable and in good faith for the county to say, you know what,
Because at that time you knew he was qualified, or because at that time you knew he wasn't qualified?
At that time, what we knew was he was not qualified based on what he had put in his personal history.
So he's going through the process in a not meaningful way because you know you won't hire him, but this is your good faith attempt to correct these process errors. You're just running them over the hurdles, and it doesn't matter what his time is or how many he knocks down because you know what the answer is before you start, right? That's what you're telling me.
Well, Your Honor,
he was an unqualified employee who you were just going to let him go through and be treated fairly, which was to be not hired at the end.
I think, Your Honor, the reasonable and prudent and fair thing at the time to do was to give him another opportunity based on the process errors that
Because he had a chance to be hired.
We now know, as
because
I testified.
Because he had a chance to be hired, right?
But he would not have been hired.
Isn't that a jury question?
No, because the other investigator at the time has testified that she would have found the exact same thing. And the evidence is
the other plaintiff, Mr. Evelyn, says
yes.
That there was this epithet-like comment made about black men who date white women.
Yes.
And that in the aftermath of that, he was treated differently from Caucasian employees, and he was treated more harshly by the person who made that comment, who was his direct supervisor. Why isn't that enough to get him to the jury on the hostile work environment claim?
Well, first of all, the context of that comment is unclear. It's unclear. Mr. Eagleman could not.
What's the context that would make that not an improper comment? What's the proper context for making that comment?
Well, as far as the contention that things happened to him after that statement, that's not clear from the record because Mr. Eagleman could not remember, couldn't even put in a 10-year time frame when that occurred.
Would it matter if it happened after the statement or if it happened in the midst of the bad things that otherwise were happening? Would the statement itself put the other things in context?
I think looking at the statement itself, it's clearly inappropriate. Chief Batiste apologized to Mr. Eagleman for saying it. But it is the classic stray offhand comment, Your Honor. There, Mr. Eagleman testified in the 20 years...
In Clark County, it's the classic stray offhand comment? Where is that the classic stray offhand comment?
I think if you look at it in the context of Mr. Eagleman's 20-year career in the sheriff's office, he testified that other than this one comment that happened when they were out to lunch, for which Chief Batiste quickly apologized, no person ever said anything of any racially offensive nature ever to him who was an employee of Clark County in 20 years. So we have this one comment while they're out at lunch, and he's trying to use that to create questions of fact that simply don't exist. The reality is Evelyn is the one who was hostile towards Batiste. There's tons of evidence in the record to support that. Evelyn was disrespectful.
It sounded like a jury argument.
No, I disagree, Your Honor. I disagree.
Okay. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, to the extent that Evelyn is contending that he was subjected to a hostile work environment by Batiste, even if you look at the individual things he complains about, he fails to get anywhere close to the threshold to establish harassment under the law.
What are those?
He complains of four things, four really command decisions that Batiste made five things over the course of 4 years. Evelyn had a habit and was characteristically second-guessing Batiste's decision.
So what were
the four things?
That's
what he did. There was the Costa incident, and the Vosburgh incident. Both of those, Evelyn testified in his deposition, he didn't believe they were evidence of race discrimination. A third incident involved another custody officer, not Evelyn, that Evelyn complained about how Batiste handled it. But the custody officer himself testified in deposition that he didn't think race had anything to do with it. The other thing that he complains about is the investigation into the sexual harassment investigation, which ultimately led to his discharge. I'm out of time. Do you have any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
What did Evelyn point to as the indicators that he was subject to a hostile work environment other than the one statement that we previously focused on?
This was an ongoing course of hostile treatment, and I think you in your question, Judge Dwyer, hit upon it. It's a question of weighing the evidence. He says that she treated him more hostily, again, with reprimands, disciplinary action, reporting his actions to internal affairs more often. This was not simply a question of a few, as opposing counsel suggests, a few disputes they had over how other officers were treated, et cetera. But again, the question is not whether or not this court can sit in the jury's position and decide which of this evidence is more powerful. If the jury decides that this was not race discrimination, so be it. But this was summary judgment, and the question is substantial evidence.
Do indicate that there's a certain threshold that things have to get to be actionable.
It's a totality of circumstances, without question. But the notion that this is based on just a couple of incidents and that otherwise the relationship between these two parties was hunky-dory was belied by the record. And we have witness statements saying specifically that Mr. Evelyn was targeted because of his race. So you have not just his own testimony, but the testimony of other witnesses that he was specifically and on an ongoing basis treated differently, treated more hostily, questioned in his own command decisions and judgments where other Caucasian commanders were not. And that is enough to suggest that a jury could find that she discriminated against him on the basis of his race, that he experienced a hostile work environment. We haven't even gotten to all of the other hostile work environment elements. I don't necessarily think we need to, but there's, again, a rich factual record.
So are the damages sought on this claim, did the accrual of damages end when he's terminated, or is his termination attributable to this claim?
Well, his termination is attributable to this claim because the evidence demonstrates that the investigation that resulted in his termination was incredibly biased and was essentially a witch hunt that was orchestrated by the chief to get rid of him. And we've gone over in our briefing
a whole lot of testimony about his boorish behavior, which seems to support his termination,
which suddenly materialized after his almost 20-year career in the form of an investigator who used techniques such as, did he ever say to you, once you go black, you never go back, suggesting to these women, who, by the way, there's evidence in the record, had a reason to have it in for him because he had complained that their contract with the county was being inappropriately handled and that their company should be removed from the contract. So, again, this is all the weighing of evidence. It is absolutely a jury function, and this court should reverse and remand these claims for trial by jury.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes our morning calendar.